I was 1990. Yeah, we got beat by P&G, 20 points to 18, and I take full responsibility for that defeat. I don't think even this World Cup that England will ever get beat by P&G again. But yeah, that sole loss was down to me. It was my debut as a standoff. I was useless. I was clueless. And after the game, the slagging I got from everybody, and rightly so, John, and rightly so, because I was absolutely useless. And the slagging I got from, not just from journalists who the writing journalists, the radio commentators, the TV commentators, was quite simple. What is Schofield doing playing at number six? He'll never be in number six when he's got all in his backside. He'll never be an international standoff again. He's a quality centre. He's proved himself as an international centre. Malcolm, what the hell are you doing getting back in the centre? Anyway, when we got back to the hotel, and this is not all about coaching, it was all about my management, and Mal really just took me to one side. And quite simply, we were open and honest, and he said, "Scotty, do you know how to play this number six role?" I went, "Yeah, I do, Malcolm." "Yeah, why are you asking the question?" He said, "Well, today, you were rubbish." So I said, "Yeah, I know that." So I said, "Why are you asking the question?" He said, "Well, just let me tell you this." He says, "You as a number six, you're the main man on the field." That was enough for me. That was enough. I just said, "Right, that's enough, Mal. Don't worry about it." So I just took total charge of the next game. I think we won the next game 48-10. Ripped the New Zealanders apart in the 1992, and that's where I started making my name as an international standoff. So after that P&G game, after that P&G nightmare, quite simply, it kick-started me as an international standoff.
Does that still haunt you a little bit?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Because, I mean, you had a great career, but is that one of those games that you...
We've added out, because I take sole responsibility. Forget about the other 16 players who was playing there. I take responsibility for that defeat because I was absolutely useless as my debut as an international standoff. But then once Mal really just gave me the reins to be the main man on that field, at the end of the day, John, the rest is history as an international standoff.
Yeah. What do you think? Have you watched PNG this tournament? What have you thought of them? Because they've probably been better than most people.
They've been very impressive. But as we all know with the PNGs, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get pride. You're going to get passion. You're going to get commitment. You're going to get desire. Yeah. And we all know the defensive-wise, they will run through a brick wall. Not just a brick wall, they'll run through a concrete wall. We all know that. But from a skill point of view, this is where they're lacking. I think it showed that against Ireland. They tried to do stuff what normally, it doesn't come natural to them. You know, so, but as far as I've mentioned there, with the passion, commitment, desire, the tackling, putting the body on the line, that won't be an issue.
I don't
see another Papua New Guinea against England. What happened in 1990, unless the halfbacks have a nightmare like I did on that day.
It probably helps too. It's in Melbourne as well. Because when it's played over in Papua New Guinea, they say grow another leg.
John, it would have been a different story. You would not be able to call it. No, yeah. If it was in Papua New Guinea, with that crowd, and I'm saying with the heat and everything, it would have been. I would imagine if the bookies were going to call it, they'd be saying, "Hey, listen, this may be no more than 4 or 6 points start to PNG." So it would have been a different story. So I know it's in Melbourne, ideal for us. Yeah, we'll soak up what they've got to throw with us, but England will have too much quality.